You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Revelation, chapter 19, verse 1, where we left off last time. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite every Holy Spirit prayer warrior in the United States of America to join me each Wednesday night at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for our President Trump and for our United States of America. This is spiritual warfare. We're fighting not with flesh and blood. Let us take back our country for Jesus. I'm in my new location in Suntree, Florida. I am right beside Scott Merson's produce place, which is on Wickham Road. You look right there a few yards behind, you'll see Sellers Lane. I am at 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come on Sundays at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast. And now, Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. I am entitling this, Here comes Jesus.
Amen.
To clean up all this miserable mess. Now, when this happens in prophecy, chapter 18 will have happened. That was Babylon is fallen. And I ask you to read that because in Revelation 17, I really taught you that Babylon is fallen. Babylon is confusion, lies, deception that are going on right now, everywhere you turn. Just listen to him lying. Russia, Russia, Russia. Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. Impeach, impeach, impeach. Corona, Corona, Corona. All of this is gone. Here comes Jesus.
Amen. Verse 1. And after these things.
What things? After Babylon has fallen. Thank you, Lord.
I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia.
Now, Alleluia with an A is the Greek version of the Hebrew word Hallelujah. When you put an H on it, you're speaking Hebrew. When you put an A on it, you're speaking Greek. But it's Alleluia. It means praise the Lord. Now, there are a lot of souls in heaven as Jesus begins to come saying Hallelujah.
Salvation.
Salvation is Jesus, Yahweh's Savior.
Glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Verse 2, for true and righteous are his judgments.
He's coming back and he's a just judge.
For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication.
Now, God uses that expression so you'll understand it. The whore is Babylon. That's the confusion, lies, and deception of the devil and all of his group. God calls that adultery. So, as Jesus comes, all of that is fallen.
And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand.
You might remember me teaching you an earlier chapter in Revelation. It was very poignant. There are souls under the altar of God right now in heaven. And they are saying, Lord, how long before you're going to avenge our blood? Well, when he comes, he's going to avenge their blood. And all the people who've been murdered for Jesus' sake.
3. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever.
That's Babylon. In other words, God is a consuming fire. The lies, deception, and confusion of the devil have to burn up, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, in the presence of God, the consuming fire. The smoke means they're forever gone. What's in the fire is consumed, it's forever gone. The smoke says it's forever gone.
Verse 4, the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sitteth on the throne.
Okay, The four and 20 elders we learned early in Revelation are the 12 apostles and the 12 patriarchs. The four beasts are the four living creatures that guard the mercy seat. They are cherub, and in the Hebrew, that's keep, guard, grab, and grasp. They are praising the Lord because Jesus is coming back.
Saying amen and hallelujah.
Amen means that's that, and hallelujah, praise the Lord. So as I say, that's that, praise the Lord.
Five, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his saints.
Now, a saint is a set aside one. Now, there are saints in heaven. They were set aside for holy use. You can be a saint if you're set apart for holy use. If you're divided, you're not a saint. So all Christians are not saints, but you could be.
And ye that fear him, both small and great. Six, and I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and is the voice of many watchers.
Now I taught you in Revelation 17, verse 15, the waters of figure speech, it means many people, voices in heaven.
And is the voice of mighty thundering, saying.
Thundering is always the voice of God the Father. As Jesus comes, God the Father stays in heaven a little while.
Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Unlimited power.
Seven, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor unto him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
Now, we know that when Jesus returns, he's going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is the Passover Lamb who was crucified as the Lamb of God. Now, who is the wife? Once upon a time, everybody was God's wife. And the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6, the first earth age, we were all in our spiritual bodies. Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7, when you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. Before Lucifer said, I will be God, Isaiah 14, and drew one-third of God's children with him, Revelation 12, everybody was married to God. See, the world doesn't know what marriage is. You think it's a man and a woman lying together and having children. Sex has nothing to do with real marriage. Many people have sex and live together and have children and not really married. Married to God, the wife of God, means you are one. Remember Jesus prayed in John 17, Father, that they may be one as we are one. A true marriage is your one spirit, one mind, one heart. And of course, in the human, you get one flesh, but most people think that's marriage. No, you're not married unless you're one spirit, one mind. You're absolutely the same in your thinking. And so everybody there loved God. There was no sin. Now, when Satan rebelled, he committed adultery, and that one-third that followed him, Revelation 12, in the spirit body, committed adultery. So God divorced them. Jeremiah chapter 3, 8, God divorced Israel. However, when Jesus was on the cross and crucified, the blood came out of his side, which made it right for him to take a bride. And so he's coming back, and whosoever will may marry him. But the wife in the first earth age remained the wife. That was that small group, Revelation 12, that fought for God, fought the dragon, and stayed true to God. They had a trial. They were justified, Romans 8:30. But that wife has been sent out in every generation, men and women who have the whole truth, nothing but the truth, the mystery of God, the real truth teaching, and that elect right now is still the wife. But everybody else can marry him, and then you'll be a wife.
Amen. Eight, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints.
In the Greek, righteousness of saints means righteous acts of saints. Now, this tells you what you're going to wear. Her is a symbol of men, women, boys, and girls who are going to wait for the true wedding of Jesus. You're not going to be deceived and marry the Antichrist. So this is the body of Christ. Okay, the fine linen. All right. How do you get the fine linen? We know that righteous acts and works do not save us, not of works, lest any man should boast. However, once you get saved, works become very important. And the right kind of works will mean whether you're going to have clothes on or whether you're going to be naked for all eternity. See, if God didn't have a work for you to do, he would have taken you as soon as you got saved. Most of you think you're a Christian and living here so you can have a career, a job, a family, or fun. But no, the only reason you were left here after you got saved is to do the work. The work is building the church of God. Everybody understand?
Yes.
Now, there's a reward for all the good things we do. Even lost people help people. I'm sure all of you do the same thing I do. You empty your wallet and give to poor people. You feed the poor. Anybody needs help, you help it. That's good. We're supposed to. All of these things are good things. We see somebody in need, we go and do it. We see somebody needs their place clean, we go clean it. In other words, this is what we do. We do good deeds. But do you know that's not what weaves your bridal gown? Here's what it is. Every Christian, big, small, little, in a general sense, in the body of Christ, Paul says, you have a ministry of reconciliation. Jesus came and reconciled us back to God. Every Christian has a ministry, and this is what weaves your gown. There are good things you do. We sing for the Lord. We pray for the Lord. We dance for the Lord. We give to the Lord. We help the poor. We just give our lives away. But the thing that weaves our gown is the ministry of reconciliation. There is never a Christian that is not assigned to a minister of reconciliation. That means you're to tell people of Jesus, what he did for others, and then you are to cause them to repent. And everybody has that assignment. That's what weaves your gown. How you doing? Now, you say, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. The minister of reconciliation. Win souls to Jesus. That'll bring you gown. It'll be just right.
Amen.
No panels missing.
9, and he said unto me, write, blessed are they that are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Now, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen, Ephesians 1:4, were chosen from before the foundation of the earth. That's the wife, that's God's elect, men and women who did not betray him then, sent out in every generation to proclaim the whole truth of God. That's the chosen. However, Jesus wanted everybody to be saved, so he said, whosoever will may come. So Jesus says, blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus himself gives us a story in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, verse 11. Jesus says, all right, those of you who are chosen, go in the byways and highways, call in the lame, the blind, call in everybody who said, come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Won't you be saved? Won't you be saved? Won't you be saved? Texting, won't you be saved? Talking on the phone, won't you be saved? Going out to lunch, won't you be saved? At the workplace, won't you be saved? In other words, wherever you go, you're the minister of reconciliation, on your job. If your world's only two people, won't you be saved? So Jesus in Matthew 22 goes in. Everybody who's called and chosen are there. This will happen, you know. But he sees a man there, not properly dressed. He does not have on the white, fine linen garment. Jesus says, friend, wherefore are you come? You are not dressed. You see, many Christians, Matthew 25, half the body of Christ is going to marry the devil, thinking he's Jesus. The devil's going to look like Jesus, act like him, talk like him, two horns of a lamb. So if you don't know the Bible, you would marry him. So Jesus says, why are you here? The Matthew 22, the man was speechless. You know who the man is? That's the body of Christ who will worship the Antichrist, thinking he's Jesus, come to fly him in the air. And when they realize that's not Jesus, then they go to run around Jesus. Jesus, I went to church all the time. I preached, I prayed, I sang, I loved you. Jesus said, get away from you. I never knew you. New is a marriage term in the manuscripts. You're not my wife. You've married somebody else. So blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Matthew 22, Jesus says, bind him and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The cries are going to come from those Christians who right now love God, but never enough to study the book of Revelation, which gives you seven seals, seven trumpets, seven signs, makes it clear. Six comes before seven. The Antichrist comes first. And so if you didn't know to study enough, then you're going to be deceived. And you will cry for the mountains to fall on you. Oh my God, I was a Christian. I worshiped the devil.
And he saith to me, these are the true sayings of God.
This is truth.
10, and I fell at his feet to worship him.
Now, Jesus wrote the entire book of Revelation. It's called the Revelation of Jesus Christ, the Unveiling. But he dictated it to John. But what Jesus has done here, he's called forth an angel to show John these things. John thinks it's Jesus, so he falls down and worships the angel. Never worship angels. Angels are messengers. They give you messages. They guard you. Don't ever think they're the Holy Spirit. Don't ever pray that angels will go convict somebody. They can't. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Don't ever worship angels.
And he said unto me, see thou do it not.
Do not do that, John.
For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren.
I lived in a flesh body like you, John. I'm one of your brethren. Maybe it was Peter, but I've gone back to God. This shows us that God can send loved ones back to us to give us a message, but don't worship them.
That have the testimony of Jesus.
I have the word of God.
Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Prophecy means telling the future. Remember that Jesus said in Mark 13, lo, I have foretold you all things. See, nothing that's going on in the world, all of this phony baloney stuff, shut ins, pretend to be, doing for our good, all of this is in the Bible. And so this is all prophecy. You need to know prophecy. You wouldn't be deceived if you knew Revelation, the book of prophecy.
11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse.
Whoa.
And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True.
Now, this, of course, is Jesus about to come, the second advent. Horse means power, and white means pure. The one sitting on the horse is the Lord Jesus, and he's coming in purity and in power. Actually, the horse is a symbol, a figure of speech. He's actually coming on one of those highly polished bronze vehicles, a chariot of fire of Ezekiel. Now, remember in Revelation 6, there was another rider on the white horse. He was coming to conquer and conquer. He looked pure. He looked holy. But he had a toxin poison bow around him. He was the Antichrist. He was way back over there in chapter 6. The real Jesus is way over here in chapter 19. The Antichrist is number 6. Jesus is 7. 6 comes before 7. No matter how pretty and nice and sweet and miracle 6 does, that's not Jesus.
Amen. And in righteousness and judgment, he doth make war.
Now, when Jesus comes, he's going to immediately fight two wars. Human beings won't have to fight them. They'll last maybe 3 minutes. One is the battle of Haman Gog. That is when Esau, who is Edom, comes against Jacob. Not all of Jacob, not all the 12 tribes, but the 10 tribes which migrate into America. That will be Russia coming against America. But Jesus puts hailstones on him and fights that. He wins. The other is the battle of Armageddon, and that will happen in Jerusalem.
12, and his eyes was a flame of fire.
God is a consuming fire.
And on his head were many crowns.
Now, why does he have all these crowns on them? Remember in an earlier teaching in Revelation, we had the 24 elders, the 12 disciples, and the 12 patriarchs. They had earned crowns. God says he's going to give you a crown of righteousness, a crown waiting for you. But what they did said, we don't deserve the crowns. So all of them in heaven took their crowns and gave them to Jesus. So he's coming back crowned.
And he had a name that no man knew but he himself.
Oh my goodness. Now you say, Sherry, you've taught us names of God, Elohim, Adonai, Yahweh. This same chapter is going to give you two more names. What does it mean, no man knew but he himself? Your name is your identity. In the book of Daniel, there was a man came to Daniel and his name meant horse face. When he was born, he had a long face. His name meant something. Moses is called drawn out of the water. His mother put him in that little basket, and Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the water. Jeremiah's name means who one whom God launches forth. God launched him forth. Rachel, when she was dying, named her son Benoni, son of my misery. Jacob corrected that really, said, no, name him Benjamin, son of my right hand. A name identifies a person. You understand? When people call your name, it's not your name they think of. They think of your character, who you are. So what does this mean, that no man knows but he himself? At the burning bush, Moses was talking to God, the consuming fire. Moses said, God, what is your name? And God spoke Hebrew, because that's the language of God and the language of the angels. God said in Hebrew, Ayah, Asha, Ayah, meaning, I am that I am. I will be what I want to be. I will become what I want to be. There are names that God gives you right now. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But God is so awesome, so omnipotent. Only He knows all of His unlimited power. Understand? He's all that.
Amen.
13. And He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood.
Jesus crucified. In the Song of the Lamb, I taught it to you for Passover, Psalm 22. Jesus looked down at His blood-covered body, and He said, I am but a worm. He said, I look like I've been dyed in the red blood of a crimson worm, covered with blood. Why the blood? Because the life is in the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins.
And His name is called the Word of God.
There. Now, He just said no man knew His name. However, the name you want to know is the Word of God. This is the name of God that you need from the cradle to the grave. It'll tell you what kind of a job to get, what kind of a mate to marry, what to do in sickness, what to do about money, what to do about coronaviruses, what to do about shut-ins, what to do about gossip, what to do about death when you die. So, His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1. So the name of God that you need to know, you don't need all that other, you'll get that later, is the Word of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. This is God's love letter to you. It tells you everything you ever need to know to get safely through this life experience. What's His name? His name is called the Word of God.
14. And the armies which were in heaven followed Him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean.
Now, God's got an army that He's getting ready in heaven right now. But God's got an army being prepared on earth. You people who ran out of fight, you're not in the army. I mean, those of us who know what's going on and fighting this darkness, we're the army. We're getting ready. That's why we're being trained. We're being trained to reign. And the army in heaven would be those souls that have already earned their robes. So that army is coming with Him, but it's got an army here that's not going to be deceived. Are you in His army?
Yeah.
Are you a fighter? Are you a warrior?
15. And out of His mouth proceedeth the sharp sword.
The sword is the tongue of Jesus, the Word of God.
That with it He might smite the nations.
Jesus says, by My word you shall be justified, by My word you shall be condemned. You will have eternal life by the Word of God, or you will have eternal death by the Word of God.
And He shall rule them with a rod of iron.
Iron is very strong. This time He's not coming back as a lamb led to the slaughter. He's coming back in all power.
And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
As He comes back with that cup of wrath, pouring it out, all seven vials, the cup about which He prayed in the garden. And He's going to pour it out on everybody on earth who is worshiping the Antichrist, including half the body of Christ. Matthew 25, five are foolish, five are wise. However, if you are the bride of Christ and wait for the marriage, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. God protects His wife. God protects His elect.
16. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Good Lord, here's another name. Now, right now, from the time you were born until the time either Jesus comes or you go back, everything you need is in the Word of God. So, Word of God. What do you say? Word of God. Jesus is the Word. The Bible is the Word. The Word of God. But when He comes, then He's not coming back as a lamb. He's coming back as King. A king comes to His kingdom. So now everybody's going to call Him King. Every knee shall bow, and everyone shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
King of kings and Lord of lords.
Amen.
And that means saved and lost alike.
17. And I saw an angel standing in the sun.
Now this angel is on assignment.
And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven,
hey buzzards, hey vultures,
come and gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God.
This is not the marriage supper of the Lamb.
18. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, and small and great.
Okay. When Jesus comes, 1 Corinthians 15:52 says that any person or any animal who's in a flesh body on this planet will step out of our flesh body. You are not your flesh body, that's your envelope, into your spirit body. You're a spirit. In other words, you're going to, this is the one generation that will not die. Jesus said that will see His coming. You will step out of your flesh body and into your spiritual bodies. Understand? Now, the Bible says us that flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, the King is coming and kingdom on earth. So He can't have flesh and blood in His kingdom. And so what these vultures are going to do, they're the scavengers. They're His cleanup vacuum cleaners. They're going to have, yummy, yummy, corona-infested flesh and all poisoned blood. Hallelujah. They're going to clean it up. Hallelujah. I said He's going to clean up all this mess.
19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gather together to make war against him that sat on the horse.
This is the battle of Armageddon. As Jesus and His army comes, the fallen angels sitting right there with the devil pretending to be Jesus, the fallen angels of Genesis 1 of Jude 6, Nephilim, will rise up to fight Jesus, and they will disintegrate at the brightness of His coming. All of these wars are quick. So much for that. Jesus wins.
And His army. Verse 20. And the beast was taken.
Now, this is not the actual devil himself. This is the first beast of Revelation 13. You remember what it was? His political system, the image of the beast. Lie, lie, lie. They're working you out right now to see if you're going to understand this. Okay, his political system. Okay, the lies of the political system. Everybody understand it?
Yeah.
This is not the body of the devil yet.
And with him, the false prophet.
The fake prophet, the fake Christ, the role of Antichrist. The devil has an unholy trinity, just like God has the Holy Trinity. He's got his political system lying. They're lying to us now. The image of the beast, lies, lies, lies. And then he's going to come as the role of the false prophet, meaning the role of Antichrist. So what's God going to do with them? Now, this is not the body of the devil yet. This is all the role of the political system and the role of the Antichrist. Understand?
Yes.
Who wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and had worshipped his image. And they both were cast alive into the fire burning with brimstone.
Now the actual lake of fire into which Satan and all who follow him are really going to walk and perish from within and be no more does not come into existence until the end of the millennium. So what does this mean? Peter tells us that when Jesus coming back, He's going to burn the elements with fire on earth. It doesn't mean burn up the world. Jesus is the fire. The elements means rudiments in the Greek, means false teaching. So the lies of the political system, we're hearing them now, and the role of the Antichrist disintegrate as Jesus comes. Because, see, the whole world will see that Jesus is a true Christ. So the devil will never again say, I'm Antichrist. His role is gone. Because everybody can see he's not the real Christ instead of Christ. And the political system can never say that Daddy is Christ, because the whole world can see that Jesus is Christ. So all of that lie and that role is disintegrated by Jesus. Understand?
Yes.
Now, the body of the devil, it's still alive. We're going to find out what happens to him.
21, and the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, whose sword proceedeth out of his mouth.
Now that's those fallen angels and demons.
And all the fowls were filled with their flesh.
The buzzards had a good time.
Revelation chapter 20, verse 1.
This is called the millennium chapter. The millennium is 1,000 years. Remember, time is nothing when you're in your spiritual body. Everybody will be in the spiritual body. There's no time there. What we would call 3,000 years might be 3 minutes, okay? Day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 2 Peter 3, verse 8. So this is when Jesus comes right then. Now, the devil's still here. There's going to be teaching. Nobody's flying away. The Zadok elect coming with him will teach a disciplined type of teaching, and the elect, the wife of God on earth, will teach for 1,000 years. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But what happens to the devil? Let's find out.
And I saw an angel come down from heaven.
The angel is Michael, the archangel.
Having the key to the bottomless pit.
Remember in Revelation 9 that the devil is the angel of the bottomless pit, Abaddon, the destroyer, Apollyon, son of perdition. Okay, this is going to be connected to the devil, right?
And a great chain in his hand.
You know why he's got the chain? Right now, Michael the archangel is holding the actual body, the cherub body of the devil behind the throne of God. And pretty soon he's going to kick him out of heaven where the Satan is coming and saying, I'm Jesus coming in the sky. But you know and I know and all of this phony baloney lying knows that the evil spirit of the devil is all here. The chain that Michael the archangel has is going to bind Satan, the body of him, and not only will his body be bound, but his evil spirit cannot be loosed, understand?
Yes.
I mean, nothing he can do to hurt us.
Verse 2, and he lay hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan.
Now that tells you who the Antichrist is.
And bound him 1,000 years.
All right, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. Why is he binding him 1,000 years? Because the elect, Zadok, are going to be teaching. Right now, the devil tries to steal the word of you. For the first time you hear the word, the devil will try to keep you home. Don't go to word study tonight. You don't need to go. You don't need to hear the radio. You don't need to go. No, 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 no. Steal the word. Twist it up. He's never going to, that 1,000 years, be able to interrupt the word of God teaching. Now, I'm going to talk to you next time. I don't have time now. We're going to finish this chapter 20. And I'm going to show you why there's going to be teaching and what that's all about. Ezekiel chapter 40 through 48 has more of that millennium time than even Revelation. It's going to just amaze you. And that, I hope you are blessed.
Amen.
Normally this time I give you a mystery moment, but you know we've just had a mystery. So David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. Let me introduce you the owner of the produce place, man of God, my twin friend Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very good, Miss Sherry.
What is your Scott stuff?
All right. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. Psalms 18:30.
Fantastic. Thank you, Scott Mercer.
You're
that
welcome,
is so great. Thank you for Scott's stuff. We appreciate that. Now, I want to pray for the sick, but first of all, come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you're not saved, be saved. Pray this and mean it. God will write your name in the Lamb's book of life. And when Jesus comes, you can marry him and be his wife. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Lead me by the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To be a minister of reconciliation.
To be a minister of reconciliation.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen, amen. Amen. Now, for those of you who prayed that, I invite you to call me on my phone and leave that message on my voicemail. You'll hear my telephone number in just a few minutes. Right now, let me pray for the sick. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in your wings. Into the stomachs that are nervous and are overacting, the lower intestines overacting, the colon, the bowels, in the name of Jesus, divine order, peace be still, perfect circulation, perfect assimilation, perfect elimination, no overaction, no inaction. Viruses, be gone. With Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Blood of Jesus over everyone. Blood of Jesus over America. Yes. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling.
Amen.
He sent his word and healed you. He restores health and cure to you. With Jesus' stripes you are healed.
Thank
praise
you,
ye the
thank
Lord.
You, Lord. Thank
now, if you were healed, let me know that too. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing is given you to keep. Go and give it away, and God's law of reciprocity will multiply it back to you. This is your host, Sherry Medlock, saying I love you, and I am so grateful that you love God's word. His name is called the Word of God. And I can't wait until next time when you and I get together as the happy family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Contemporary Christian music, 91.5 FM. WMIE.
Calling all Christians who love America, Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth invites you to join her every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. to pray fervently for President Donald Trump and for America. Let us take back our country for Jesus and the Bible. Sherry is in Sun Tree next to the Produce Place at 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and may God save America. Once again, that's Wednesday evenings at 6 o'clock, and the place, 2565 Sellers Lane in Melbourne. And join us right here on 91.5 FM WMIE every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for a Trumpet of Truth.
From the earth to the sky, let it arise, let it arise. From the dark into light, now arise. here to give you, God, what you are worthy of. A holy roar, reaching for heaven, our praise poured out with a reckless abandon. Our worship, God, is wholly yours. Here we stand, here we wait, have your way, have your way. Every hand in this place, God we raise, God we raise. We are here to lift you up, here to sing a song of love, here to give you, God, what you are worthy of. A holy roar, reaching for heaven.
We fix our eyes. Be the same.
lift our eyes to heaven, to you. And we lift our eyes to heaven, and we wrap our lives around your life. And we lift our eyes to heaven, to you. Father Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our lives. Be the center of our lives. Oh Christ, be the center of our lives. Be the place we fix our lives. Be the center of our lives. The center of our lives. To heaven. We wrap our lives around your life. We lift our eyes to heaven. To
calling Christians to worship and the study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
Singing over me, you have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Yes, you did. You have been so, so kind. Coming after me. There's no wall you want.
I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. You are waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle work, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you.
Stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
glass might bend, but I won't break. As long as I can see your face.